This is extremely important. I want to share this with you guys, and it'll keep me from making another video. If you haven't seen any, the last couple of videos I made, we've had some pretty amazing information that people were just sharing with us, and it's already happening. So it's reliable sources, and I just want to share stuff with you guys so you know, the body of Christ would know. And it's been a pretty amazing couple days, hasn't it? Pretty amazing couple weeks, and it's about to get more amazing and more crazier. This is an email that I received. I won't mention the names of the individual, but I wanted to share this because what we're headed into, what we're going through right now, is going to last a long while. This is not one and done. This is not going to be just a couple weeks, as you've been told. Children already know they won't be in school at least until past summer. That's a fact. And there's other things that are out there. I just read recently they are looking at least 18 months of a particular plan for what they're doing now. And that's out there. That was apparently some document that was out there. And so this is not going to be right away. As you all know, the president just signed the War Power, act or what have you, that gives him greater power during a time of war, something that was done a long time ago. You know, that stuff's out there. But listen to this. This came from a person who is a part of this ministry over in Arizona, and her son works for the railroads. And this is what she told him. She said, My work sent out exemption letters for travel restrictions. This is preparing for the United States to go under lockdown and needs to keep the trains rolling while it is under that lockdown. So he's a maintenance worker. He got a travel restriction exemption so that he can travel in the United States to work on railroads. Now, this person has no reason to send me this other than just for information, and knows that I would pass it on. And so that may seem like something small and insignificant, but it is not. That means that there's coming interstate restrictions, according to not only this source, but many others. So why am I telling you this? I'm telling you because we're going into a long haul. And this is going to be a while. There's an alternate plan. There's an alternative plan. There's something that is very nefarious about all this. And I'll share some more about that on Sunday morning under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I wanted you, the guys that are part of this ministry, those on live stream, those on YouTube, that there are people in the know that are being prepared. And a lot of people, you know, when you look at lockdown, when you look at martial law, you think it's, you know, troops coming down out of the sky and it's overnight. It is not. It's too big of a machine. And it has too many parts and too many political aspects and law that must be followed. And if you'll watch how fast this has evolved in the past week or so to where, you know, we're right at the precipice of that. So I'm telling you that as a church to prepare yourself. If that thing were to be released in our area, you know, your travels may be restricted. I will say one other thing in foreknowledge of some information. We're about to see a lot of lost jobs in this area. We're already seeing it in other places, but in this vicinity, we're going to see some job losses and pay cuts and pay loss, and just it's going to get rough. Okay. But we were born for such a time as this. Amen. God has called us to this time. So take that information to the Lord in prayer. But they have to keep the railroads going. They have to keep commerce moving. They got to keep the engine going. And so it looks like there could be some, like I say, quarantine and restrictions of movement. If you're in New York City, it's already happened to you. If you live in parts of California, it's already happened to you, and various parts of our of the United States. So I love Georgia. I love being right here. And I'm just praying that the Lord would keep us free, not so I can go to Wally World. I'm not interested, honestly. I've adapted my life. My family have adapted our lives for several years now to just enjoy each other. Come on. And to make use of our time. What I want my freedom for, what I want to move around is so we can do this right here. We can preach and reach and help those folks that don't have that opportunity. Father, again, thank you for this opportunity, this message tonight, this service of teaching. We just take that information we received to you, and there's so many other avenues of information, Lord. We get inundated with all this stuff that's happening, but our trust is in you. And so we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And whatever's going to come to pass is going to come to pass. And what we can rebuke, we'll rebuke. What we can bind and loose, we'll bind and loose. But Father, whatever is your will, that's what's going to be done. And so guide us and lead us in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen and amen. All right, let's get into the teaching so we don't have to talk about that stuff anymore. But we got to talk about some things, what's happening. And wouldn't be right not to. Okay, Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy. We've been in chapter 16, and we've been learning. And where's the last place I left you? See if anybody wrote down any notes. Who? Where'd I leave you all at? Where? Hey, where did I leave you at? Where? Okay, in Passover. All right. Leviticus 23:5. Last time we got together, we talked about the Passover, and it pointed to what? The Messiah as the Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians 5:7. And we know that he is our Passover lamb. Jesus paid the sacrificial price. So Leviticus 23:5 gives us the requirements and the understanding of the feast. Remember, the feast, again, they are to bring us into the time frame and the understanding of where God is headed and the time clock and the calendar. And so many people, I want to use this as an example. It's kind of a segue since we've been talking about this. But, you know, people, there's a little debate going on in the United States. And you got people saying, well, you know, are these the last days? Is this the end times? Is this what the Bible says would be? Is it over? Blah, blah, blah. And without understanding, number one, the Bible and eschatology, you won't know where we are. But if you don't understand the timetable and the feasts and the calendar of God, you really won't understand where we are. And then you'll just say stuff that's, you know, what you were taught in some book. You ever heard people just do that? You'll give them a quote from some prophecy book and say, well, like I said the other day, you know, Jesus is coming. Well, he's not really coming yet. He's, you know, it doesn't take him that long to go from heaven to earth, but he's not necessarily coming right away. He's letting things happen perfectly in perfect timing. So we got to get in that time frame of understanding what's going on. So Passover lamb, we talked about that. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. Christ is a lamb without blemish or defect. 1 Peter 1:19. I gave that all to you last time, didn't I? Okay. Because his life was completely free from sin. And that was in Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. At the first Passover, marked the Hebrews' release from Egyptian slavery. So the death of Christ marked our release from slavery of sin. Romans 8:2. So again, it's elementary, but it shows you, first of all, the prophetic ability of the word that became flesh. Is that right? It proved that God would be faithful to the T. He'd be faithful to the letter. He'd be faithful to exactly what he said. So if he were that faithful then that means he's that faithful now. He hasn't changed. He's still the same. And so if I keep my eyes on what he's saying and I keep my heart on his timing, then I can be right on time with God. Now, I may not always get it and I may miss things. We all do. But if my heart is right, God's going to get me to where I need to be. Isn't that good? Some of us show up later. Some of us show up later. Some of us, you know, we lag behind. But eventually, if we'll just follow his plan and his path, he's going to get us to where he wants us to be. Okay? But again, that comes from understanding the feast, understanding the timetable of God, that his plans are exact. So second thing, did we go into unleavened bread? We did go to unleavened bread. I'm going to finish that then and bring that back out. Leviticus 23:6 pointed to the Messiah's sinless life. Remember, leaven is what? It's sin. Leaven is sin. It's a form of sin. It's a picture of sin in the Bible. So he became the perfect sacrifice for sin. And so when they had the unleavened bread feasts, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it was pointing towards him being perfect. It was pointing towards him being without that sin. So Jesus' body was in the grave during the first days of this feast. You want to write that down? That's pretty amazing. His body was in the grave during those first days of the feast. Now, how perfect is that? How perfect is that? Remember, there wasn't a Bible. There wasn't, you know, on this day, Jesus is going to be in the grave. And it was a prophecy and it was a promise that God made. And the only way to know that fulfillment and to understand that fulfillment was to understand the feast. Now, I get it. They were blinded to that revelation. Nobody really knew. Nobody really understood. Okay. Even though the prophets prophesied, Isaiah and others prophesied his coming, it still was a blind spot to people because they didn't fully understand what was happening. We know that's true because the Bible declares that even the devil didn't know, or he wouldn't have crucified the Son of Glory. He had no idea the plans of God. The devil's not as smart as you think he is, but he is very crafty, and he's had over thousands of years to figure man out. And he did pretty good in the garden to fool the first man. So he couldn't get the second man. He couldn't get the second Adam. He tried. He tried to tempt him. He offered all those things. But what did he do? He said, it is written. And guess what? It's still written. It's still the word of God. So the unleavened bread pointed to the Messiah's sinless life, as leaven is a picture of the sin, of sin in the Bible, making him the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus' body was in the grave the first days of the feast, like a kernel of wheat planted and waiting to bust forth as the bread of life. That's an amazing analogy. It was really awesome that he was in that grave. His body was, and then he rose. And he became that bread of life for us that had no sin. Praise God. That means that we can trust him. That means that we can hold on to his holiness and his righteousness. And that righteousness is inside of us. You know, we can live right. We can do right. We can do the right things. And I'm telling you, this time of testing for the church and for America, we're going to find out who really loves God. We're really going to find out who loves one another. We're going to find out if we're just going to hoard for ourselves, or are we going to give? Are we going to bless people? You know, I noticed this going in and out of different places, and I'm sure you have too. But you can see, you know, when I see older people, you know, they almost kind of cower down thinking that there's something wrong with them. And I smile at them, I look them in the eye, and I say hello, and I try to give them as much love as possible because there's this thing going on because of this virus, and it's causing division. And we're not going to be divided. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're uniters. We heal. We lay hands on the sick. We encourage. We don't hide. We don't go into bunkers. We don't shut things down. We obey laws that are given to us that doesn't affect the kingdom and our conscience. But we don't just bow out of life and just say, okay, we're going to go, you know, isolate in a hole somewhere because the sky is falling. My God and your God created that sky. Woo, glory to God. He created everything. He created all things. And so we're not fearful. Man, I just want to preach. It's the truth. But I've noticed that. And then you see the younger kind of get smirky and you know, don't. It's a battle. And it's like, look, if you're so supposedly a Christian, if you're so-called a Christian, you can't have that attitude. You love and you bless and you lay hands on the sick. Amen. And they recover. What an hour to be in the body of Christ. This, I'm telling you, this is the greatest hour to be alive. This is the greatest hour to be alive. I don't care what the situation is outside. I don't care what's going on in D.C. I don't care what the plans are. This is the greatest hour to be alive. Why? Because this is the hour God prepared his church for. This is how he told and warned us it would be in the last days. And yes, Mr. Theologian, we are in the last days. I have read stuff that made me want to throw my shoe. I'm just like, unbelievable. Well, I don't really know if we're there yet. I mean, dooba-dooba. I'm like, okay, Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said it in Mark 13, he said it in Luke 21. Come on, do you get it? I understand an unbeliever or somebody that's, you know, young or just don't understand eschatology. I got that. Questions are great. You know, we should have them, have the questions and we should have answers. But these are so-called theologians. I mean, has anybody seen these articles? I mean, I don't mean to keep going back that way, but I am just appalled. And they got doctor in front of their name. I'm just like, really? You wasted all that money to go to school? You owe your mom and daddy an apology for spending all that money, you dumb. All right, watch this. Number three, I'm just messing. Number three, it's the truth. It's the truth. I can't vent anywhere else. Like I said, I yell at the computer and they're like, what are you doing? All right. The third feast I want you to see. Remember we're talking about the spring feast. Is that right? Talking about the first three. We're going to go over those. All right. Leviticus 23:10. I hope you go back and look at Leviticus and see that. 23:10 and verse 6 and all that. And you get to see how God was put these feasts into play. So it pointed to what? The first fruits points to what? His resurrection. Resurrection. That's why we celebrate our time of resurrection, our first fruits, man. Pointed to the Messiah's resurrection as the first fruits of righteousness. The first fruits of righteousness. Jesus, watch this, was resurrected on the very day. He was resurrected on the very day. That's the timing of God. That's the perfect timing. How did God know that? Well, he's all-knowing, right? I mean, when you sit there for a second, it does blow your brain away that he said in Genesis 1:14, I'm going to give you these signs, these seasons, these symbols, these omens, these understandings that are going to point you in my direction and show you where I'm headed. And then he comes through, the children of Israel come through, they go through the wilderness experience, they're right there in Canaan, then the Lord says, here, these are the seasons, the festivals, the feasts I want to teach you, and by doing it, one, you honor me in remembrance, but number two, you know what time it is. And so he hides it and he conceals it in the Old Testament. It's confusing and ununderstandable to people that don't understand, I should say. They can't decipher it. They can't interpret it. They hear the prophets talking about it, the rabbis speaking it, the patriarchs talking about it. They teach their children these truths. But all of a sudden in the New Testament, poof, revelation comes. And it's revealed. And we, us here today, we get to be participants of it. Now, what does that do for you and me? What it does for us, it again, allows us to see how exact God is, but it also shows us that if we'll just follow him and follow his leading, we will be on time. And if we're on time, watch this, it's going to be a real no-brainer. We're not going to be late, and we're not going to be left behind. Amen. And how many of y'all know, sometimes when you get to the place you're supposed to be, that's where the blessings are. You ever showed up somewhere late and everything was gone? Hey, sounds like right now, don't it? Sounds like Deal and their chicken they were selling. Deal's over here. It was awesome until you showed up late. I was over there and I was looking at some. Chuck beef or what's that beef they had on sale? Hamburger, Chuck Burger, Chuck something. I don't know, Chuck Berry. But anyways, they had beef on sale, and the guy's like, he said, "No, it's gone. We just rounded up 400 pounds of it." He said, "We got more coming." I was late. I missed it. You've been there, haven't you? I missed it. But I got me some chicken. So it was on that day he was raised, which is one of the reasons that Paul refers to him in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go there real quick. 1 Corinthians. In fact, I saw some of y'all shopping over there that day. That was a pretty good sale, wasn't it? Over at Deals. I think they lost their shirt. They set that sale up right in the middle of this crisis. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians, you can write down. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. 1 Corinthians 15, 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept or that had died." So Christ is raised from the dead. He's become that first fruits of them that slept. So he is our first fruits. So that gives me a guarantee and gives you a guarantee that when we die, and we don't go by the way of the rapture, but we go the way of natural passing, we're going to be with him because he's already gone there. He's already made a way. Well, if we have family members that have passed on and they've died in Christ, they're with him. And see, God already put that in the Old Testament. He already put that in the feast. He already established that so that we could have faith in him and know, again, he is a God that's on time and he's exact. He knew exactly when this thing would take place in 2020. He warned us through his prophets, through his watchmen. He warned us in his word. He was exact, and it happened exactly as it's supposed to happen. And it's going to clear itself up. It's going to go out. It's going to become everything that it's supposed to be according to his perfect plan and will. That's amazing. That's amazing. But he is the first fruits. All right. He's the first fruit from the dead. All right. So let's go now to the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. And that's in Leviticus 23:16. Is this all right? I hope you're learning something on it. Some of y'all know it all, and you've studied these before. But these are pretty cool. I love reading this and teaching this because, again, it just lets me know I'm not on some planet, green planet, blue planet, whatever the color this place is, just floating around aimlessly. You know, oh my gosh, what's happening? The world's falling down. I mean, come on, man. You watch people in the store. You tell who's not a believer. Most of them have toilet paper where they can't even see to the top of their cart, and they're trying to push it around. That's your first indicator. Usually, by the way, what are you going to do with all that toilet paper? Somebody had a great, this is good. Now, if you make money off this, let's you know, remember the church. Somebody said, you know, with all this toilet paper being sold, we need to start selling plungers. Who was that told me that? Flo. I just told the world Flo come up with an awesome idea. That was you? It's called the Flo Plunger. And the tagline is, let it flow. We're going to be rich. We are going to be rich. We may only get chicken, but we're going to be rich. Woo-wee. Made me drop my glasses. You made me laugh so hard. Can you imagine? Let it flow with flow. Oh, my goodness. Isn't it crazy? I mean, what are you going to do, hug the Charmin? All right, there's another one. Bing. Wish you need a drummer, man. You're gonna sit there and hug that. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, let's go. Woo! All right, weeks of Pentecost, or weeks. What's that? Huh? Whose face is red? She is. It's as red as her outfit. They say, never mind. I ain't going to say it. I'm going to leave it. All right. Weeks of weeks or Pentecost. Let's move on. Leviticus 23:16. All right. Occurred what? 50 days after the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 50 days. Okay. So Jesus rose from the dead, right? You got it? 50 days later is the Feast of Weeks, or Week of Weeks, I think it's called, and also Pentecost. Isn't that amazing? Wait a minute. All of this was exactly as God said it would be. And Jesus came and fulfilled it all. He fulfilled it perfectly to the very day. So this is what I want us to see here, and I believe this is just perfect time for what we're going through. God is in complete control of what's happening, even when folks are out of control. Now, he gives you certain leeway to grab the steering wheel. Don't get me wrong. Your life is not a robot. You're not a robot. I have a destiny, and you have a destiny, and God allows us to steer. You know, sometimes he lets us get on his lap and let us drive. You remember that when you're a little fella, a little girl, scared out of your brains when you took the wheel? But the reality is, you know, he's going to allow you some leeway and teach you and train you and bring you to his perfect will. But people are just, they're out of control. They're crashing. They're panicking. They're afraid. And you ain't seen nothing yet. This is a thimbleful of what's coming. And not because I said it, it's because what Jesus said. Men's heart will fail them for fear of what's coming upon the earth. It's coming. This is nothing. This is nothing. This pestilence is nothing. This quarantine and all the lockdown, this is nothing for what the Antichrist has in store and the beast system has in store. Well, we know that. And if Jesus fulfilled all the feasts to the T, then all of these things will be fulfilled according to the word of God. Therefore, I care not. I worry not. I fear not. Man, I want to preach this thing. It needs to be preached to the highest mountaintops. That doesn't mean I don't use prudence and use wisdom. I don't run out in front of and out of an 85 saying Jesus is the Lord in front of a Peterbilt. Come on, somebody. Come on now, or run into a biker bar and say, fire! Or whatever. I'm trying to beat that flow thing, and that ain't working. That was it right there for 2020. So I'm not going to be testing God. I'm not going to tempt God. I'm not going to do anything like that. But I can trust him, and I know he's going to lead us. This needs to be said because you don't hear a lot of preachers talking this. They're panicking and they're shuddering up and hide. But anyways, listen, the true character of a man or woman only comes out in the time of adversity. You this or you ain't this. Either you're the real deal or you ain't. And as this thing tightens up more, we're going to find out who really is real in God. I'm not saying this stuff ain't going to bother you. Of course it bothers you. If you spend any time of research as much as I research, it bothers you. You don't like it. I don't want to hear what's happening to people losing their jobs. And I don't want to hear all this stuff. But you know what? It's a reality. And we have the word to give us stability. Isn't that good? He is an anchor to our soul. So at the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread pointed to the great harvest of souls and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me read that slowly. So we're talking about the Feast of Weeks and Pentecost occurred 50 days after the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay, so put that in your mind, put that in your notes. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, 50 days later, came this particular feast of Pentecost. What did it point towards? It pointed towards the great harvest of souls and the gift of the Holy Spirit to both the Jews and the Gentiles who would be brought into the kingdom of God during the church age. Again, it wasn't an accident. It was divine. It was absolutely orchestrated, absolutely played out, script laid out in due season. Christ died for the ungodly. Everything was done in a perfect season and a perfect time. And we have to get that in our spirits. We have to understand that, especially as we move forward in the tightening of issues. I mean, honestly, if you were to sit down and look what's happening in the world today, it's like whiplash. I mean, just the other day, there was 15 earthquakes over, or was it 5 earthquakes in 15 hours over North Carolina and in Tennessee. Then there's one in Utah, which, by the way, knocked the trumpet out of the Mormon idol demon god off of temple somewhere, 5.7, I think it was. You know, and all the things, we could sit here and just talk about all the things going on. It's like whiplash. It's dominoes. But again, God is not up there wringing his hands. Then why are you? Why is the church? Why is the church worried? We shouldn't be, because he's an on-time God. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't make it easier. It's just something you brush off. But it does give you stability. And it does give you strength to know that God's got it under control. All right, Acts chapter 2. You don't have to go there, but that's where we're talking about the day of Pentecost. So it was a great harvest of souls. Okay? And the giftings of the Holy Spirit. It was also the time when Moses gave the law. Remember I told you that about the fire, the thunder, and all the shaking? Well, it happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen? Praise God. I'm expecting that to happen in this house. I really am. I'm expecting for tremendous signs and wonders and miracles to come. When man has lost his mind and has lost his answers, they're going to come to the church. That's why I'm telling you, they're already doing it now, but they're going to come even more. And I'm not necessarily talking about a building. I'm not worried about the building. I'm worried about them coming into the kingdom of God. But they're going to come to you. Your family's going to come to you. This is the season to really pray and push and intercede. There's a reason why we had all-night prayer before this all busted out here in the United States. There's a reason for it. We were on God's time clock. We may not know and understand it all. Even when we give the messages for the new year, we don't get it all. We don't understand it all because we only know in part. But one thing's for sure, because we're people of destiny and we love God, he has put us in the perfect timing of his plans. That's how I can look towards tomorrow and say it's going to be all right, no matter what comes down the road, because it's in the Bible and because our hearts are right. Do you see that? That's for everybody watching me right now. That's for churches all around. That's not just exclusive for us. That's ridiculous. That's cultish. We're not talking about that. We're talking about anybody that loves God with all their heart, with all their spirit, soul, mind, and body. God will lead them into perfection and lead them in direction where they want to be, or he wants them to be. Okay, now check this out. This is really cool. So it was 50 days, right? You got it? From unleavened bread. Boom, the day of Pentecost comes, Acts chapter 2. The fire and the power of God comes, right? That was also the day that the church was born. In all essence, that's when the church was born. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they went from there, and they reached the nations of the world. It was from Jerusalem. It was from the upper room. The law was given to the nation of Israel. The law was given to Moses on that day, on the day of Pentecost at Mount Sinai. And that law was given to them. But on this day, the church was born to give the world grace. Man, it was given to the church to give grace. And this is where we have to, get a little mature, because a lot of people think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues and all that is all for the outward expression and the emotion and all the hoopla. No, that's a result of what happens to you. The evidence and the direction and the results of being baptized in the Holy Ghost and a church being filled with the Holy Ghost is souls. It's giving of the grace of God to the nations of the earth. I don't have law to offer you. I have grace to give to you. You see that? Jesus came to give us grace. Moses came and brought the law. Now, grace, again, is not something that's sloppy And it's that sloppy agape thing that people throw around and just say, well, you know, let them sin. I mean, God understands. We're not talking about that. We're talking about grace, which is supernatural favor. Grace is an anointing. Grace is access. Grace is power. When I've been graced by God, that means I've been given something by him to do something I couldn't do with something that I don't have. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. And that's the way it is. So when people say, well, I just grace, man. No, you don't understand grace. You know, being raised in little Southern Baptist church when I was a boy, you know, that was the whole thing. Unmerited favor. I don't deserve this. I'm just a sinner. Well, someday you got to grow up and become a saint. Someday you got to grow up and say, yeah, I was a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. And that grace has now gave me access to become who he wants me to be. And who he wants me to be is a mature saint in him. I can't always go look back at my mommy's side. I used to be in my mommy's belly. Hey, I used to live in my mommy's belly. That was my mommy's belly over there. Did you know I lived in my mommy's belly? That would be really weird. I lived in my mommy's belly. And dad's like, yeah, well. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't do it, but that's what people do with Christianity. I'm just a baby. You know, I'm just a thin thing by grace. Well, when are you going to grow up? When are you going to be saved? Oh, that's funny. But the church was born. You're going to use that on somebody, aren't you? You got the flow plunger. Let it flow, and you got that one there. Okay, watch this. Watch it. The church was actually established on this day when God poured his spirit on the Holy Spirit on 3,000. 3,000 Jews responded to Peter's great sermon and the first proclamation of the gospel. So again, Moses gave the law, right? He gave the law to the people that were there. And then here comes what? Peter and the gang, not cool in the gang, but Peter and the gang. And now 3,000 people get born again with one sermon. Now, today it takes 3,000 sermons to get one saved. But back then they had the Holy Ghost. Amen. They had the power of God. And so there was an explosion of grace. Now Israel, now the Gentiles, now humanity could go into the presence of God, right? The middle wall of partition was busted. It was broken down, destroyed actually. And that curtain was ripped from what? Top to bottom. I've told you guys how thick that was in ISM. There's no human hands could ever break that veil, but God did. And just an amazing thing. But that brought forth the birthing of the church, okay? Let me say this. If the birthing of the church was in power, then the life of the church must be in power, and the end of the church must be in power. That's why we're going to be in power. That's why we're not afraid. That's why we're not worried about all this stuff, okay? We're not worried about inty pinty spider climbing up the wall. We're worried about those things. Be wise, yes. Please put your seatbelt when you drive. Not only is it law, it's wise. You know, it's amazing. We're having to have videos to teach our children how to wash their hands. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, everybody's doing this now, the pump. I thought that was a dance, but it ain't. It's something else. All right, number five. I don't know if I have time to do this. You guys are rough. Number five. Woo! I don't know if I'm going to do this one or not. I'm going to just touch on it, and then next time, next week, if we're here, allowed to come in here, I'll show it to you. But trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets, Leviticus 23:24. Okay? I just gave you all the spring ones, right? Gave you all the spring feasts. Jesus fulfilled them perfectly. Perfectly. You can't argue with it. You can't argue with history. He perfectly fulfilled them to the very day, the very hour. He did it. He is those things. And if God did that through feasts, through festivals, through signs in the stars and the moon, if he did it that way, watch this, then he's going to fulfill it to the very day and the very time period of the fall feasts. And I'm going to say this, and you may hear it again Sunday or one Sunday soon, but this is what amazes me with everybody freaking out and different stuff. And again, I'm not making light of any of it, please. If you know, we're here and other people are there, and I know situations are different. I got it. We were all trained different. We're all different people. I get it. But when we understand what time it is with God, when we understand what's going on, we understand that he's with us and for us, and he's going to fulfill everything perfectly, then that understanding takes away the fear. It takes everything away. When we sit there and we look at what happened with the blood moons, we looked at the solar eclipse, the lunar eclipse. We looked at all these signs just a few years ago, and every one of them were pointing to this day. It was not for that moment. He was always pointing ahead, and that's what the feast did. They point ahead. And then it happens, and everybody's scratching their head, running around, I don't know. And God's like, I just showed you. I just showed you. But because we're people of short attention span and we want everything to be boom, bam, boom, you know, like this, God's not that way. Sometimes he's very subtle. Sometimes he's the whisper. He's the quietness in the wind. Now, those things were big and people made a big deal and people made a lot of money on books. But did the church remember? No, because now it's on us. And I can't wait to preach this. It's on us, and everybody's acting stupid. They're just dumb. They're just, you know, mealy mouth everywhere. And amazing. Anyways, I got to get out of here. Trumpets, that's it. We're not going to talk about it until next time we get together. But that's going to be getting into the fall feast, and we're going to find out what God's got to say about it. Father God, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for this evening, this opportunity to be together. I bless my brothers and sisters, no matter where they are, and whoever's watching this broadcast, Father God, let them be full of faith. Let this be the greatest day. Lord, not to rub anything into anybody, just to tell them that Jesus loves them. This is what the Bible said would be, that this system has to fail, and it's failing, and it will fail. They're going to reset it. It's going to, at some juncture, some point in our near future, it is going to turn completely over to the beast system. It's going to be. It's new wineskins. You said it, Jesus. Not some prophecy book, but you said it. It would be the conditions of humanity in the last days. Lord, let us use this time wisely to gather in souls, to witness and to love. We thank you for your grace and mercy. I pray for my brothers and sisters, everybody watching me right now that's involved. It doesn't matter what they're doing, but especially those on the front line, law enforcement, military, nurses, doctors, even teachers that are still passing out food, whoever's involved in the frontline ministries right now, I pray your grace, your protection in Psalms 91 to surround about them. Father, bring us back together here on Sunday morning, not for glee, not so that we can just gloat, Father, but that we can bless your name and reach the nations of the earth with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name.